Hello, darkness, my old friend. It's William the Opinion Updike. Come to talk to you again.
And I'm a persevering Chuck Mockler right now.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming at you after a...
tough loss.
Just a...
skin of our teeth.
Yeah. A whooping.
Whooping.
But yeah, we're hanging in there. We're going to be recapping that 135 to 103 loss to the Houston Rockets. We're gonna be digging into that. you know what? I'm gonna off top say there's no reason to read too much into this one.
I don't think there's too much to read into it. There's some things, but it's light reading.
Yeah,
it's beach reading.
It's very light reading. And then today is Thursday, so we're gonna be doing our regular Thirsty Thursday segment, which we do every Thursday, where we talk about who and what we're thirsty for.
I only drink water once a week because of this segment.
It's all you need, baby. And then we're going to wrap things up with just kind of some general Clips talk, a little bit of playoff talk, maybe some jockeying positions going on in there. So stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right about now.
But first, what are you doing on Sunday?
Oh, man. I totally forgot.
Oh, dude.
We're going to be at Tom's Urban. That's Tom's Urban at LA Live. Don't go to the one in Arizona.
I mean, maybe
do. But we won't be there.
If that's your local Tom's.
If that's your local Tom's, go to the one in Arizona. But if not, check your guys at Staples Center. Well, not at Staples Center, but LA Live.
Yeah.
Tom's Urban. We're going to be there 5:30 p.m. for that Warriors game.
Sunday.
The away game on Sunday. And yeah, we're just going to be having a good time chopping it up.
There's also a Lakers game happening at Staples at 6:30, so it could be a fun night.
It'll be fine.
Something's going to be interesting. Yeah, come through. There's going to be drink specials, some food. I ate too many cheesy tater tots last night after the game. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. So let's get into a bad time.
Yeah.
The Clippers lost 135 to 103 to the Houston Rockets.
I thought we were going to lose by 40. I put my computer away at some point during the fourth, and I was like, well, I think I've seen enough.
I had a tweet that this game made me want to start announcing scores like how weather apps have a feels-like feature.
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
We were down 20, but it felt like we were down 800 points.
I mean, we were only down...
Halftime, it was like 13 or something like that.
Yeah, it was like 15, 16 points.
Within reach.
Yeah, very, very well within reach. I got to be honest, though. I even thought after the first, I wasn't liking what I was seeing.
We got six turnovers in the first, right?
Yeah, we finished the first quarter with six turnovers. They outscored us by 13 points in that first set. I wanted to have hope, but like just from what I was seeing, it didn't appear to be getting any better. And Doc a little bit said, essentially in the post game that he had three quarters basically to think about this loss and hadn't really come up with anything yet, but you know, no. He's still thinking.
So right off top, we were wrong about a couple of things. Beverly didn't play.
Yeah.
Which I would say is when that was announced in the press room, it was kind of like a vibe of like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess
he said it wasn't because of an injury, he said it was kind of because of rest, but it's like, why this game?
I would guess that there's still maybe some soreness or something. It's not like a full-blown injury, or he's just downplaying it. You know, either one could really be true. And in either event, man, it's a regular season game.
I'd much rather
have like a healthy Beverly than like us try to prove some sort of point and risk some sort of worse injury, or even just have him be uncomfortable.
Well, because that was an issue. He's been shooting pretty poorly the last couple games, and it might be because of that hip pointer.
Yeah,
it might be some discomfort in there.
That could be.
We were also wrong about the score.
Oh, very wrong.
My brain was right, but my brain was still wrong. I said that I was going with my heart over my brain, but even my brain was like, there's no way we're going to lose by 32.
I mean, we shot from the heart.
Yeah, oh, we really did. So some quick stats. Shea had the best game of any of the Clippers, which was really cool to see.
24-4, two steals.
Dude, he's just proven, he's helping my case for him going to be top three in steals in 2 years.
It's interesting. I asked him quickly in the locker room about composure post-game, and I bring it up only because early on in the season, when he just worked his way into the starter rotation, he would get pulled pretty early when a couple things would start to go wrong.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, like at the time, I would still kind of fault Doc, but it was obvious watching the game, you know, like his body language would shift, kind of slumped shoulders, hung head. And we just didn't see that last night.
No, he was in it 100%.
He was in it 100%. He was still going to do everything that he could do to win. Yeah, and I just thought that that was great to see. I think progressions like that are really positive to see.
It was a mature performance.
It was a mature performance, for sure. Yeah.
Gallo had 16. Lou had 14. And Trez had 13, 6, and 4.
Yeah.
Doing a bit of everything.
Yeah, doing a bit of everything. Rock shot really poorly from three, which
yeah,
was...
We did. That's not good. For the Rockets, Harden led all scores with 31, 7, and 7. Chris Paul had 29, 4, and 7, and Capella had 24, and 15. I mean, this one just sucked.
Yeah, I really did.
I asked Doc pregame if it was hard to plan for a team that doesn't even, like, think about the mid-range.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a very blunt no. And so you just have to try and knock them off the three-point line a little bit.
Yeah.
Which didn't really happen.
It didn't really happen.
And there was that weird thing. If you look at the shot chart from this game, they actually took and made a kind of weird amount of mid-range shots.
They did.
Which I thought was interesting.
And the thing is I mean, we didn't keep them off the line that well. And I had talked about it in the pregame. But the thing that I was the most worried about was just the easy points. Allowing the easy lobs, the drives to the basket. That kind of stuff. We gave up a lot of second chance points that I really thought we should have had.
There were some questionable no calls when we were under the basket too on offense.
I mean, I gotta agree. I don't want to put anything though on the refs. Like this was
It wasn't 32 questionable no calls.
Yeah, this was our loss. They outscored us in second chance points, 18-6.
Yeah, that's
so that 12 points isn't on the refs, man. No. Yeah, we did win the fast break, which is interesting in this one. Obviously, they're kind of, Doc alluded to them being a slower, more plodding team, which is absolutely true. They actually looked quick as hell in this one.
Yeah, which I think also we looked slow as hell.
Yeah.
For a team that had just played the Kings, they looked like they were in pretty good shape.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. but we outscored them on the fast break. We had 28 to their 13. We hung toe to toe with them in the paint, which we mentioned in the preview was going to be important.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they had 52 to our 54. So I mean, pretty solid. The biggest thing was just the free throw shooting and the 3-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
From the three as a team, we shot 30% to their 47, which is rough. And they had, I want to say they had about 10 more attempts.
Probably.
Than us, too. Let me just double check that.
Going off what you just said about the defense.
12 more attempts. Yeah.
Jesus. Going off what you said about the defense, we were really so concerned about the perimeter that the lobs were open.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I thought that that was the issue. And it was kind of the opposite of what I wanted to have happen. I kind of think... obviously, you don't want to just allow them an easy three, but like if you're just standing outside on the perimeter, you're leaving them more options to score than less. You know, even if they are a team that shoots a lot from the three, but like if that's the only part of the game that you're like really game planning
for, you're giving up the twos.
You're giving up a lot of other shots.
And Zubats was doing a good job of, he broke up a couple lobs,
mm-hmm.
but I also think there were so many lobs thrown, he was kind of bound to break up a couple. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like the rule
he
of
He broke
our,
up
like,
a couple. Yeah, I mean, Zoo did not have a very strong showing, in my opinion, in this game.
He didn't get a bunch of run.
Yeah, he finished with 5-8-1 with as many turnovers as assists in about 20 minutes, which wasn't that solid.
No.
He only finished 1 of 3. And there was one where he like fumbled it twice at the rim.
Yeah, it was tough.
And it wasn't even swatted or anything.
He just dropped it.
Everything
that kind of went wrong in this game did.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And credit to Houston. Houston's physical. So Houston was switching on defense, which Doc mentioned in the postgame was nothing they hadn't seen before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Houston was physical with it.
They were so aggressive.
It worked.
They like just swarmed.
Guys couldn't get set for shots that we, like Shamit couldn't get set for shots.
Yeah.
They gave us some bumps, but they were nothing malicious at all. They picked on Lou defensively.
Yeah.
Which I kind of thought it was going to be Shamit. It's worse to pick on Lou.
Yeah.
From our perspective is what I'm saying. It was very smart to do that. Gallo early, we noticed, got PJ Tucker on a couple of switches.
was really effective.
But then that just never happened again.
Yeah, then we...
They were, D'Antoni was like, okay, I got this figured out.
Yeah, we kind of abandoned Gallo in the post.
Yeah, which you were obviously unhappy with.
I was super unhappy with. Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a great three-point shooting night, 1 of 3. Finished 50% field goal percentage overall. I don't know, man.
Perfect storm of Houston playing fantastic, us playing bad. Garrett Temple...
I got to agree, yeah.
Garrett Temple was picking up James Harden because Beverly didn't start, so Temple was on Harden.
That was bad.
He was picking him up at 94 feet and trying to force him right, but, I mean, it didn't work.
It did not work. I would have liked to see... This was a situation, too, where I really would have preferred to probably see Shea on the primary ball defender.
Just something different.
Yeah.
There was... I mean... Yeah. I mean, go back to the physicality thing. Jerome was actually taped up around his torso after this game. Just because he was taking screens so hard.
Yeah.
The Houston screen, and nothing malicious again. But that's just what they do to kind of chip away at your endurance.
Yeah.
With that physicality. Sure. It just, I mean, everything kind of went, it was just bad.
Yeah. Everything really went bad. I mean, our bench just barely outscored theirs. I think it was, by 10 points, their bench put together 36 to our 46. We talked about it in the game preview. We needed just a lot more than that from them.
We needed everyone to have a good game.
Yeah.
And defensively, it was really hard to watch, too, because it felt like every single layup, the Rockets had a running start.
Yeah.
No one was just coming off a dead start. It was just like, all right, I'm going to sprint from half court because there was one screen set and score easily, which is what happened. We talk about some good things.
For sure.
We already mentioned Shea shooting 50%.
Definitely.
That was great. Some random guy named Mike won 2 free season tickets for next year.
Yeah, this was the craziest giveaway I think I've ever seen.
Other than like a $100,000 half-court shot, I think it's the most expensive giveaway value.
No, but this one's the craziest because he didn't even have to do anything.
He just sat there.
He just sat in a seat.
It was tough.
That's awesome for him.
Good
way
for
to
Mike.
Go, Mike.
Way to go, Mike. Great, Mike. Do we think... We have a couple minutes left in this segment. Do we think... A lot of people on Twitter were saying that we win this game if Bev plays.
Oh, easy.
I don't know if we win this game.
Oh, yeah. He drops 40 on the Rockets.
Yeah. I don't know if we lose this game. We don't lose this game by 32 or whatever it was. But the way that Houston looked last night, it looked like a bit they wanted to maybe make a statement. Not to us, just to kind of like...
I think in general, yeah, they wanted to make a statement.
They put Harden in when they were up 29.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beverly gave a nice like little address to the crowd beforehand, which is cool. He's definitely kind of the mayor of this team.
Yeah.
But I don't think things would be different, but I think we still maybe lose. But then again, you know, I don't know.
Tough to say. I mean, yeah, I think if the Rockets are playing like this, obviously we're going to lose. They played great. They played like they're, you know, like pretty close to their best game. They shot 47% from three. I don't know what you want me to say to that.
What do you want us to do, huh? I don't know, man. That does it for that recap. Sorry to start you guys off on a bummer one. Coming up after this, we got some Thirsty Thursdays, what we want to see more of. But first, one more time, guys. March Madness is starting, or is back. I don't even know when these games are.
Yeah,
March Madness
Why doesn't it end in March?
March Madness is back on Saturday. Head on down to Tom's Urban. You'll see some future second-round picks from the Clippers in there. They got 70 big-screen TVs. Crazy happy hour. They got $5 apps and zerts.
Yeah.
Not sure about the zerts. Definitely about the apps. They got the You Pour floor with over 50 kinds of beers, local and imported. Just go check it out. We've been there, I don't know what, 4 times this week because we've been in Staples so much.
Yeah. We'll be back on Friday and Sunday. So catch us there on Sunday.
Yeah. So welcome to Thirsty Thursdays.
What's up?
What's up, dude? I'm thirsty for Beverly to be back.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of one game enough. I can't think of anything I'm more thirsty for. Miriam Swanson. Shout out, Miriam Swanson.
Yep.
She asked Shea post-game if he missed Beverly. And he was like, yeah, I always miss Pat.
That's a great answer. That's what you want to hear.
He's like, yeah, you miss him playing and then you just miss hearing him, which I thought
I bet they heard him a bunch on the bench last night.
I'm sure.
I had to guess.
I'm sure Papa was not too happy with that performance in the locker room.
Mayor
after.
Beverly was not having it. It's just his absence is just so big.
Yeah. It's huge.
It's incredible.
Especially, he's just such a huge key of that defensive identity. And not even when he's on the court, it's just he's one of those players. I'm just going to throw this out there.
Okay, what are you tossing out there?
Last night made me think Patrick Beverley doesn't just deserve like all defensive honors,
all
but
NBA
like
honors.
He deserves to be like maybe in that fifth spot on an MVP ballot. Like not top 3.
Like the 4 vote spot.
Well, cuz every voter has to, you have to give 5 names for MVP.
Yeah.
On the card. So I think he deserves maybe to hold down that fifth
spot. Like the honorary.
Well, cuz the thing is if you're looking beyond stats, I'm air quoting stats right now.
These, I don't know,
numbers. Too many numbers.
Yeah.
But if you're looking beyond that and just like the most valuable player to a team.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's out of that kind of conversation.
Agreed.
I don't have the on-off numbers in front of me. You know, I don't have the VORP.
Well, I'll give you long and short of it. On good, off bad. That's how I would describe the on-off numbers.
And, you know, obviously I'm biased, but like things like that, it's so interesting to me when there's players that, you know, unless you're a huge fan of the team, you probably know very little about, but are so essential to a team's identity and success.
I mean, he had 0 points in one game and was plus 22.
Yeah, for sure.
I like that take that he should get those, I don't want to say
fringe
sympathy, but like the credit votes.
I mean, I would say fringe.
Like there was 1 year in the Heisman voting where a fullback got like 4 votes. He played for Stanford.
Uh-huh.
Because he just like, he did literally everything. He like played fullback, I think he played linebacker and all sorts of stuff. And everyone's like, this is just to kind of show how much this guy does.
Yeah.
Through the eyes of everybody. Because everyone kind of looks, even casual fans will look at like all of the MVP voting.
Yeah.
So I think that would be like a nice send off. I don't know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
I like that take. Thirsty for more Jerome.
Are you?
Wasn't the best performance last night, but no one played well. I talked to him last night, and I just like what it was like to play in a game like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said those games are hard, but he likes going out there and trying to be the positive spark for a comeback.
I like that.
And I like that.
That's
outlet.
A good answer.
And I kind of talked to him. I was like, is it hard to kind of get comfortable in a run with the playoff stretch? You haven't got a lot of time. He's like, it is, but you just have to do what you have to do. I know it sounds like kind of a canned answer, but it was just, you know, he played 12 minutes last night. He didn't really affect the game in a large way, but I just like the hungriness of Hill because it feels like his rookie year is maybe going a lot differently.
Oh,
maybe
then
he thought, or
then
what
he thought?
Then we all thought, I think, too.
Yeah, I mean, the injury definitely set him back, and then it's just difficult.
I just want him to get into a rhythm.
Yeah.
It's hard to play 12 games in a game where you're down 30 and be like, all right, man, go be your best. You're supposed to, but as a rookie with not getting a bunch of time.
And early on, round, I thought he was going to pretty much snap in to that.
Yeah, same here.
And I have no doubt that he still could. I think the biggest issue right now is where do you put him in the backcourt?
I know, like third string.
I know, but who
guard?
Else is playing with him?
Yeah. No,
like, you have to have a plus defender next to him, like a plus enough defender to cover for that himself plus Jerome.
Yeah, Jerome's not a bad defender.
Man, he's not good.
Yeah, but I don't think
net. I don't think that, like, he'll... Hmm. I don't think that he has the tools to be good. Like, he has good instincts. He's like, always trying to be in the right place at the right time. He's got good physical tools. I just think, like, in any sort of series, not even a series, but like any sort of extended play with him, like he's gonna be a target.
Yeah, but I think that might be a reps issue against top NBA guys.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
that's
I see what you're saying. But like the only person you could really pair him with is like Beverly. So it's like a weird stagger lineup.
Yeah, I mean
Temple. No,
Beverly makes the most sense, I guess.
Just because he's like kind of a truer point guard to be next to him. Because, like, a backcourt of, like...
Well, Jerome can handle the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he played a lot of point, so...
But as, like, primary point guard in an NBA game seems... I'd rather have Beverly out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I totally agree with that. And what's nice about that is that gives you a lot more space.
Yeah.
I wish, you know, I just don't know how productive those kind of minutes are maybe for Beverly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's like teaching minutes.
Yeah.
That's like maybe we're up by 32.
Yeah.
And Beverly is teaching him stuff. I'm a demon of something from last night. I think a lot of people on Twitter were.
Okay. Yeah, we got to address this, I guess.
Donnie Mack! What are you doing, man?
Yeah.
What are you doing? So for those who missed it, he was lambasting Harden for his style of play last night.
I haven't listened to the audio yet.
I listened to the audio. He's talking about how it's like cheating the game and like the system doesn't work and you can't rely on ISO ball and they don't play defense.
Foolish.
We lost by 32, Don. They were playing defense.
I don't like these sort of comments mainly because I feel like that's not even your real thought. You're like regurgitating things that other people have said about the Rockets.
It's an old take.
Yeah.
And if you listen to what Doc said pregame, it was the last 20 games they've been the best defensive team in the NBA.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Second best, but
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just like, I get that you're mad that we're getting beat. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
But don't scapegoat it because an MVP candidate is cheating.
Yeah, I think that's such a tired take, too.
It is.
So tired. If it was cheating or if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Exactly. Also, Tom McClain got suspended for cheating. Literal cheating.
Hi-yo.
It was just crazy. It was such an old man take on, like, what's wrong with the game.
Yeah.
Also, ISO ball, their system does work.
Yeah.
Like, it's clearly working.
Yeah, it works fine.
They were possibly an injury and a not over 27 shooting night away from beating the Warriors last year. I'm not saying they were going to, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The window was there.
Oh, the window was definitely there. And I honestly, this is going to be a bad take, but...
Dude, let's go.
I like that the Rockets are looking so good right now.
Just because of the hate.
Just because of the hate, and like, it makes the Western Conference Finals and the rest of the playoffs more interesting.
Absolutely.
The NBA is better when the Rockets are also good.
Yeah, they almost have a heel vibe.
Yeah.
Because they have two players who people don't really like.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just crazy, dude. It was like, dude, we're getting smacked right now.
And also, sure, ISO ball doesn't work in a lot of situations, but when you have arguably one of the most efficient players, it works.
And then you have Chris Paul and a really athletic center.
Yeah.
And then other shooters.
Yeah. D'Antoni had a really funny comment in the pregame before. Somebody asked him about like Harden's reputation as being a ball hog or something, and he's like, you know, we do plays, but like a lot of that is a lot of our idea is to get Harden the ball. Like, what do you want me to say to the most efficient player ever? No, you're too efficient. Maybe pass the ball off to somebody else.
D'Antoni's a great interview pregame.
Yeah,
he's good. Animated. But this also goes to my other point. Everyone's thirsty for Cheryl Miller at this point. I'm not letting this die.
Oh man, I would have loved some Cheryl Miller takes from last night. In a loss like that, like just the basketball mind of Cheryl Miller kind of breaking stuff
down.
We
can't let this die. We have to get an answer from somebody it's happening. I hope
that would have made last night great.
Would have been fantastic. I hope it's a playoff game she calls.
Yeah.
Or maybe the game in Golden State.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the only options other than the game tomorrow, which there hasn't been an announcement yet.
Yeah.
As they shoot out an announcement right when I say that. No, it was just tough. And, like, of course, the front page of... I try and stay off of the Reddit NBA now, but...
Yeah, I haven't really been on it in a while.
The front page of it had... It was just, like, Clippers announcer ragging on James Harden. It was just like, we don't need this in a game where we lost by 32.
Yeah.
Let it go, Don.
Let it go.
Be better. No, I'm not saying that. But maybe also be better. Anything else you're thirsty for?
Oh, man. I just want to see... I asked Lou Williams, and maybe it was the wrong question to ask, if there were any takeaways from him in the pick and roll after like Houston kind of trapped him so hard and like attacked that so well.
Yeah.
And he said he couldn't really give up any bulletin board X and O's. But I'm thirsty to see how they adjust.
Yeah.
Because I know they will. You know, you're not the most efficient duo.
Ever.
like in points per possession on ISOs without being able to adjust.
Yeah.
And I refuse to believe like that, you know, that it's a fluke or something like that. I do legitimately think that they're going to figure it out. Those two guys know each other so well, feel each other out so well.
Absolutely.
I just think that they can get through something like that. And I'm really thirsty to see just how much stronger this makes that duo.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the vibe of the locker room afterward was like, we got our asses kicked.
Oh, next. That's the other positive thing. Like, everybody was just so ready to move on.
Trez and Darius and Motley were making plans.
Yeah.
Like, they were trying to get out of there, which I mean, I would have done the same thing. I once played on a high school hockey team where we lost 3 games in a row by a cumulative score of 37-0.
Wow.
It was not fun.
That's brutal.
But then we were drinking beers and chewing tobacco on the back of the bus, so it was fine.
You can't be talking about that in high school.
No, that's what we were doing. It was Montana, dude. It's like legal over there. Coming up after this, a little bit of some playoff talk. But first, Will, how can I videotape the inside of my apartment when I'm not home?
I don't know. Leave your VCR on?
That's a good idea. I need to dust off that old VCR. If you don't have a VCR, if you're not me, you need to check out Wyze, W-Y-Z-E. It's the indoor camera that does it all. Premium features allow you to see everything from anywhere for only $20.
Wow, that's better than smart. That's Wyze.
1080p full HD. Images so clear, you won't miss a thing. Night vision. Two-way audio. You can yell at fools if they're inside your apartment. Wyze's mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. They have 14 days of free cloud storage, which is huge. No subscriptions. Live stream with an 8x digital zoom. Watch your pets destroy your house. Or maybe your in-laws are rearranging everything and, you know, gaslighting you about missing your possessions.
Or maybe there's just like a cool flash mob that showed up at your house for a performance. You had to be at stupid work.
Had to be at stupid work. They put everything back before you could even get there. For just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your dang camera should, too. 110-degree per second rotation speed. 360-degree horizontal range. Get a nice panorama of your apartment.
Ooh.
If you have a nice, you know, decor day. 93-degree vertical range. Patrol your room with pan scan. Set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. Again, that is Wyze, W-Y-Z-E. Go to Wyze.com, locked on, for a special offer. Does last night change how you feel about the playoffs? In terms of us heading into it.
It was a sobering moment. I think...
Bit of a punch to the mouth.
A bit of a punch to the mouth. But here's the thing. I feel like in all three of these games, because we've blown out the Rockets this season too.
Yeah.
And you could say blah, 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 blah.
Us missing Bev is just as important as them missing Harden or CP3.
I agree. I mean, he's a starting guy in our backcourt.
Yeah. He's a shot caller.
Yeah. So I think that the saddest or strangest thing about this loss is that we still just don't even have an accurate sample size or like look at a matchup for what this would truly be like
for a 100%.
Which makes
that
things,
that's nervous making.
That makes things a little bit scary. Just moving forward, if this is the team that we end up having to play,
I'm happy they also are in the same boat as us.
Yeah,
they also have a drought of information in terms of matchups.
Yeah.
Not having Patrick Beverley, spicy take. They held up Patrick Beverley, so the Rockets don't get a clear look at how we actually use them in effective situations.
There you go.
That one just came to me.
And looking at the standings right now, it...
We want Portland to keep winning.
Yeah, so Portland is only a half game behind the Rockets for the third. The Rockets are a full game and a half behind the Nuggets for second. I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
The Rockets would have to lose every game. I mean, the Nuggets would have to lose every game, and the Rockets would have to win every game.
Yeah.
There's 3 games left.
Yeah.
So that's pretty hard to do.
For those teams,
yeah.
For sure.
Trailblazers, you know, maybe they could make a move.
We need them to keep winning, and we need the Rockets to drop, like, one.
Yeah.
Which, I don't
know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
If the
Trailblazers could retake the three... I don't know that that's going to happen, though, either. Let me bring up these schedules real quick. But, I mean, in between, as I said, I just think that we just haven't gotten a good enough look yet at this matchup, which does concern me. Okay, so the Rockets' next 3 games are the Knicks, Suns, Thunder. No way they're losing all 3 of those.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, yeah, Booker got shut down for the rest of the year, too.
Yep, and then Cowards. The Trailblazers' next... 4 games are the Nuggets, Lakers, Kings. So, yeah, I think what we're looking at, this is going to be the playoff matchup.
The Rockets.
I just don't see anything else really happening unless we decided to do a quick tank job to try and match up with the Nuggets. And we would have to lose...
Every game.
We would have to lose every game. Yeah, the Thunder at the 7 are a full game and a half behind us.
Man. Well, it looks like we're playing the Rockets.
Yeah.
I think we got it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
I think it's going to be close.
It's going to be hard, and you know, if we're being realistic, this was always going to be a hard matchup.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a hard matchup to play the, you know, the second best team, or the 1B team in your conference in the first round. But I think on the flip side of that is that's like the best possible playoff experience for the rookies.
Yeah. And again, got to reiterate this, season's already a success.
Yeah.
Season's already a success.
Definitely.
Which is fantastic.
Definitely.
Thank you for tuning in today, guys, despite the sobering loss. True fans listen after we get blown out.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have a couple game previews for you. Got the Lakers game preview. Got the Warriors game preview for the game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be at Tom's Urban for that. We're ranking the Pacific Division, the ultimate Pacific Division rankings, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. This is the Pacific Division's the finale.
Yeah. Wow. Time flies.
Man.
We're going to be doing Love, Marry, Kill, subject to be determined.
TBD.
Want to give a shout out to the Himalaya app if you're listening on that.
Oh, it's a good app.
It's a good app, dude. You can organize episodes, which is nice. Maybe you listen to a true crime episode and then Locked On Clippers for something a little lighter.
I mean, we suffered a true crime last night.
I like that. I like that. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Please rate, subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.